Let's go to the second hour of the Dr. Future Show. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the show. In this hour, we're going to talk about the future of medicine and health. In the studio, we have Dr. Duncan McCollum, who's a local chiropractor from Aptos, Capitola area. We met him because he was on Dave's show right after us a few weeks ago. He contacted us, and we were talking about stem cells. Duncan knows about stem cell research and turned me on to some other sources. Dr. Daniel Pompa, who regularly does a show on YouTube, his YouTube channel called Cellular Healing TV. Cellular Healing TV.
Very informative show. We got a chance to look at a few episodes.
He's an amazing guy. I've worked with a lot of people. I've been in practice almost 30 years, followed a lot of people. And it seemed like a lot of them, like if you put your hands together in a pyramid, they were always the top of the pyramid and you aspired to their knowledge. What Dr. Pompa does is he turns the pyramid upside down and he exposes you to all of these people where he gets his information from. It's amazing the amount of information that he's helping us work with. There's probably about 30 or 40 doctors around the country that work pretty directly with him. In fact, I was on a call with him this morning with about 30 other people. Once a week, we get together and we discuss case studies of autoimmune diseases and autoimmune cases that are very difficult. And it's really nice to have that chance to run it by these amazing minds.
Sure. Yeah. It sounds like a really great brain trust.
Yeah,
to
it really
be part
is.
Of.
Yeah.
Now, is your interest in stem cells as a chiropractic? It seems like that's maybe a personal interest. Are you treating patients who are involved in some kind of stem cell therapy?
Well, there's a couple different types of stem cells. There's some that you can get taken out of your body or that have been created somewhere else and put back in. Or what I had talked about with Dr. Future is the fact that your body can make its own. And we actually know how to promote the creation of stem cells. And it's just amazing. And we can go into some of that.
Yeah, I liked it. I listened to this talk with on the future of stem cell work. And they did get a bit into the idea that there were different types of stem cells, some of which are endogenous, I guess. They come from within your system, the adipose, or fat cells, or skin cells.
Or bone.
Bone marrow. Mm-hmm. Bone marrow from your own system.
Yeah.
And that those work pretty well. And there are also those you can get from fetal sources, the cord, and those work as well.
Yeah.
When you're older, it's good to use younger person's stem cells in your system.
Yeah, absolutely. Up until you're, and I'm not an expert in this area, I just know what I've heard from Dr. Pompa and a couple of the other people that talk about it, but the older you get, it's harder to get your stem cells to last, but one thing that they're doing is they're banking stem cells.
Mm-hmm. Banking, like putting them into
embryos into on
lines?
Ice, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Putting your own stem
your
cells
own personal
on ice.
Stem cells?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They're like women do with their eggs?
Yeah. In fact, Dr. Pompa had a bunch of work done, and then he, I think it's $2,500 more, you can get a bank of your own stem cells, and then you just, they're kept for you, and if you ever have any kind of disease, you just get injected with your own stem cells. Stem cells, I want to just tell a story. My co-host, Carol Montgomery, who is on this show with me, but also works in my office, she worked with this stem cell company early on that was working with hearts. They were in the Cayman Islands. They had an office here, but they were doing the work in the Cayman Islands. And she told a story that's kind of interesting, that they would take these stem cells and they would inject them into the heart to repair the heart. Mm. And then they noticed that they lost the stem cells, that they had disappeared. And they go, well, we specifically were targeting the heart. And so they somehow or other tagged these stem cells again and found out that they were going to the arteries around the heart.
Oh.
The bottom line is the stem cells go, it's like you say, would you please fix the leak in the faucet? And they go, yeah, well, the big problem's up here, so I'm going to go fix it first.
So there's some kind of networked intelligence?
Oh, they're incredibly intelligent. Yeah, they just know.
They know where to go.
Yeah, they know where to go and what to do. And they have a mind of their own and they just go for it. So that's pretty neat.
So you can inject them in one area and they might actually decide, no, this, you're not right. You know, it's a little more to the left.
Exactly. But you know, the real, the kind of the neat thing is to be able to understand how to get your body healthy. I look at people when I go around town and so many people are just, I think they've just given up hope and they're just so used to the idea that they're going to live in pain or they're going to live unhealthily, and they keep giving up a few things that they want to do. Like I'll interview somebody and they'll go, well, yeah, you know, I'm doing fine. You know, I just don't play golf anymore. And you know, I used to like to walk on the beach, but now I'll sit there in my car and they're okay with that.
And the pain in my leg is just too much work to walk on the beach now.
You know, yeah, and they've tried so many things and they've had so many failures, but they just haven't found the right way yet. So if I could just launch into a little bit of what I do and what Dr. Pompa's group does.
Yeah, by all means.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the gentleman who won the 2016 Nobel Prize, his name is Dr. Yoshinori Asumi. It took me a little while to be able to say that.
Dr. Sumi?
Asumi, yeah.
Sounds like a lawyer.
He's on later in the, on the show, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. He won the Nobel Prize for his study in something called autophagy, which is autophagy, which is means self-eating. And so that just means that we've known for a long time that the body will eat and break down the weaker cells and recycle those. But he found that you could actually force the issue. And by breaking down the cells, you can create new, healthier cells.
How did he force the issue?
Well, I'll go into that in just a second. For instance, we used to think when people were starving that they were breaking down their healthy muscle protein, or when you fasted, you broke down the healthy.
The body started to eat itself.
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah. But the thing is that it actually spares the healthy cells and bad cells can't adapt.
So it eats the weaker cells.
Yeah, so under moments of stress, the weak cells can't adapt. So this is what Dr. Asumi started to work with. And then this other gentleman, Dr. Walter Longo, I brought his book just here. It's kind of interesting. See, guys, I'll show it to everybody out there.
Yeah. So that 5-day fasting.
Yeah. He's from MIT, and he started to study what was going on with the autophagy, and he found out that after 30 hours of fasting, stem cells started to proliferate in our body. So by
simultaneously with eating the weaker cells, stem cells started to replace them?
Yeah, basically all of the components get broken down, recycled, and they are able to take broken down weak cells and take those components that are fine and create new healthy stem cells. And then this other gentleman, Dr. Jason Fung, is a really good stuff on the internet about him, but he found out that after day 4 and 5, the stem cells were proliferating so much.
Listen, we're going to go to a break.
Oh, come back, okay, right
back. I was going to give you another 30 seconds.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's all right. We'll come back.
Okay, good. So the complete guide to fasting, we'll come back to that. That's our Jason Fung, MD.
Yeah. All right. Here's our break. Dr. Future Show.
Hey, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking to Dr. Duncan McCollum about fasting and stem cells.
Yeah, we were talking about this book by Dr. Jason Fung, and there's some great stuff on the internet you can watch. And you, we were mentioning off the air that fasting is something that people are afraid to do. They think it's too hard to do. They're afraid they're breaking down their protein. And the fact is that if you do it correctly, you're going to break down the weak cells out of our body.
No one likes to feel hungry. I guess that's the problem.
Yeah, understand. And the way that you can actually do this, one way is what I like a lot, and I have my patients do, is called intermittent fasting, which a lot of people are doing and they don't even know it. You have dinner and then you don't eat till lunch the next day. And we give ourselves an eating window of maybe 6 hours from lunch to dinner, and then you don't eat again. One of the biggest things causing inflammation in our body and ill health is inflammation in our digestive system. And our digestive system is so polluted with so many toxins, heavy metals, glyphosate, antibiotics, food additives, and what have you, that the walls of the intestine get exploded. We get what's called a leaky gut, intestinal permeability. So by fasting, you actually give that organ a break. It's like your heart can't ever get a break. It's going boom, 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 constantly. Your stomach, because a lot of us are told to eat six small meals a day, it never gets a break. It never gets a chance to heal itself. So it's constantly inflamed, and that inflamed tissue or substances gets into our bloodstream, and then it makes us sick.
So you're saying it doesn't need that much of a break.
Right.
In order to start working more effectively.
Exactly. And by doing that, you start to starve off some of the lazy microbiome, that starve off some of the lazy bacteria in our digestive system that are just kind of sitting there having a picnic and not really doing anything beneficial to us.
So if you eat less, you're starving some of the microbiome that you want to get rid of anyway.
Yeah.
What happens to it? Does the body just absorb it? It uses it as nutrition?
Yeah, I'm sure it will break it down. One of the tricks to getting your stem cells going and getting your digestive system functioning too is to change up your diet. It's called an ancient healing strategy or diet variation. Mm-hmm. So since World War II, we've been able to eat what we want, when we want, wherever we want, and how much we want, and our microbiome are never challenged. So back in the old days, you would eat a mammoth, and then you would eat some grain, and then you would eat some vegetables.
Different times of year, now, huh?
Yeah.
Don't you think the microbiome at all controls our desire for food? Like when you want to have a snack at midnight or something, it might be your gut sending a signal to you?
Yeah, there's some that are so addicted to sugar. And sugar is like almost more addicting than heroin.
So right? A microbiome loves sugar.
Yeah. Right? And we talked about fat early on in this show. And, you know, whether fat is the only thing that makes people fat. Well, there is actually a study, you may know about this study, where they took certain microbiome out of a fat identical twin mouse and they put it into the other mouse. And then that mouse got fat. And then they took the skinny microbiome out of the mouse and put it into the other one, and it got skinny. So I don't know if that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, sure. These are fecal transplants,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Right, because it's the intestine that has most of the microbiome in the body.
Yeah, and the amount of genes that those microbiome have are unbelievable, and they turn off and they turn on, and they're going to dictate what our desire is, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't it probiotics, the approach of changing your microbiome?
Absolutely. There's so much research in that right now because the microbiome has been assaulted terribly by, you know, drug stress, street drugs, chemical drugs, whatever, everything that we consume have wiped them out.
Yeah.
And again, I mentioned that I think in the old days it would be fix the body. Now it's fix the microbiome so the body can get well. Because if you don't fix the hole in the bucket, it's going to always leak. And that hole we're finding is healthy microbiome.
And so it sounds like the microbiome is almost like an animal that has its own needs, desires, and it's communicating on a different level so that you're doing what it bids.
Yeah. And when I really got this myself is when we were looking at Lyme disease, and there's a particular bacteria called a spirochete. It's like a spiral shaped bacteria. And Dr. Pompa and a few of the other people that were discussing it said, these things are so smart. They'll bore in and hide. They see you coming and they hide. I always kind of thought bacteria just sat in a petri dish and, you know, just sat there.
They want to live too. They want to survive.
That's their basic goal. And so they're very, very tricky, and they'll insist themselves for a while and then sneak out again and get you. But on your comment that you just made, Mrs. Future, there's a new microbiome out by a guy named Dr. Shane Morris with Systemic Formulas, and it is a human strain microbiome that he'd been studying for years, and we're going to see more and more in this, but it's called the psychobiome or a neurobiome, and it's a particular microbiome that communicates with the brain and the digestive system, the same similar microbiome, almost like you were talking about these things on our skin can communicate from a distance.
Right.
And this particular microbiome, this is only my estimation of it, but it picks up some of the serotonin that's been in our digestive system, because most of the serotonin receptors are in our digestive system. Serotonin is the feel-good transmitter and relates with the brain, and it calms people down, and it actually can help with some of the mental disorders and the loss of memory and stuff. That's what they're working on. I gave one of my staff members some, and because she was not feeling very well and kind of anxious, and she came back to my office last week and said, she was basically crying and said, this handled my anxiety. She said, I'd tried everything in the world for anxiety except for psychotropic drugs.
Wow.
And she goes, it's amazing. The third day I started taking it, I've started to feel better. Now that's—
So it's a supplement.
It is. And it's a specific human strain of microbiome that this Dr. Morris was able to isolate and then get into a capsule that we could actually consume, that some of it would get into our intestines.
Would you call it a probiotic?
Yeah, it's a probiotic. And then there's also what, you know, prebiotics feed the probiotics, you know, and so those are like the fibers and the nutrients that those probiotics
live on. The foods of the specific microbes that you want to foster
in your system. Yeah.
And how do you get rid of the ones you don't want to foster? Do you just stop eating the things that they want you to eat, like sugar?
Well, sugar and gluten are the killers. And
they love gluten and sugar.
Yeah, and gluten, I don't know if you guys have had a show on gluten itself and what's happened to gluten in our country and why it's
well,
so
there's
bad.
A lot of stories about gluten. Well, you haven't done a show specifically, but what can you tell us?
Very simply, in 1970, the gentleman who won the Nobel Prize in 1970 for altering wheat in Mexico City was trying to help world hunger, and Mexico was having a real rough time at that point. So he was able to change and 7x the yield of wheat in that year, and that's why he won the Nobel Prize. The only problem is the amber waves of grain became stubby stalks of wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And those created so many new glutens our body could not digest them. Our evolution as a human animal over all these years, hundreds or millions of years.
So you're saying it's the modified wheat that caused the problem.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying. And then now they're spraying the fields with glyphosate, and there's a particular gene that they're actually implanting in the seeds to be resistant to glyphosate so they could spray the fields more and kill the bugs and not kill the wheat. We're getting this in our body, and Dr. Pompa even talks about the fact that now there's research out that shows that our own microbiome have developed this particular gene that is creating its own herbicide in our bodies. It's just pretty crazy.
Really, it's a whole ecosystem.
We now have our own autoimmune disease just from eating these glycosate vegetables.
It took generations to evolve.
Yeah. So just to kind of get to the point of what you asked, basically the way you kill the bad ones is you starve them to death.
Mm-hmm.
The way you starve them to death is you stop eating the stuff that they like, you know,
like sugar and gluten
and ice
saying.
Cream and all that stuff. Bummer, but you know.
Yeah. Okay, so no sugar, no milk, no what?
Yeah, sometimes you can eat milk. You know, there's good milks and bad milks and goat milks and stuff that you can have. But basically, really, to make it very simple, it's the diet variation again.
Mm.
Weak cells can't adapt. They're going to die. So when you put a diet, let's say you do the paleo diet for a while, well, a lot of the microbiomes in our digestive system cannot digest the meat. And if they don't get enough, they're going to get weak and they're going to get killed off. Then maybe you go on a vegan diet for a month or so. Well, the meat-eating ones, a lot of them, let's just throw out a number, 80% of them are going to die because they're the weaker 80%. You'll still hang on to that 20%. And if you can just go through this diet variation along the way, you're going to end up with a lot healthier of the microbiomes of the correct type. So when you do diet variation, you're going to be able to keep them alive but not develop a bunch of the weak and unhealthy ones.
So periodic fasting. Periodic fasting combined with diet variation then.
That would be called diet variation. And then the fast, right. And then the intermittent fasting,
yeah.
And then next segment we'll talk about going into a little bit longer fast to actually get the stem cells going.
All right, that sounds great. Well, we do have a minute before that, but since you created such a nice little segue, would you like to say hello to our caller, John in Carmel?
Sure.
Just real quick.
Hey, John.
All right. Hi, John. Welcome to the show. Thanks for your patience.
Thank you. I think it's a great idea. I'm doing stem cell now. I had Guillain-Barré 7 years ago. My legs didn't come back properly, and the secondary nervous system is coming back now with it. It isn't as fast as I want, but it's happening. I'm an old guy. I'm 72, and I used my own stem cells. Dr. Brown did it, and I'm getting results.
Wow.
Very good results.
That's great to hear. Thanks, John.
Yeah, that brings up a good point. I'd love to be able to talk to you a little bit more about where stem cell therapies seem to be most promising right now and where maybe they're not quite working.
Yeah.
They tend to be a panacea for many, and it'd be good to know what actually is happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Well, we're talking to Dr. Duncan McCollum, and we'll be back after the break talking about the future of healthcare. Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking about the future of healthcare medicine, specifically stem cells. One statement that you sent to me in preparation for this show, Dr. McCollum, is cellular inflammation is the root cause of chronic disease. Cellular inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is really what Dr. Pompa calls going upstream. Pretty much any newspaper or any health magazine you open, it's going to say chronic inflammation is the cause of heart disease. Chronic inflammation is causing Alzheimer's disease.
Okay, so it's a catch-all in a way.
Yeah, and so you really need to boil it down to what is inflamed. And it's the basic cellular unit, which is the cell. So what happens is the toxins that we get in our environment, the heavy metals that come down four generations through our mothers, yeah. through the placenta. So we can get all of these doses when we're born.
So our grandparents' fillings are still there somewhere, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And mm-hmm. like one of my staff members said, if it isn't one thing, it's your mother. So, but the thing is, so we're getting all of this stuff, right? We're getting all of these toxins given to us from our mother, 278 of them that they've documented.
Okay, so it's both from the parents and from the DNA as well as the environmental toxic overloads?
Well, the DNA is what it is, but it's the genes, the things
genes.
Next
okay. So the genes and the environment are both contributing to cellular inflammation.
No, actually, cellular inflammation is causing bad genes to turn on. Mm-hmm. So by having sick and...
Which is caused by the environment, the inflammation.
Exactly.
Inflammation, which is turning the bad genes on.
Yeah. So just think about it this way. You know about diabetes and insulin, right? Mm-hmm. So you have a cell, and insulin's supposed to open up a little door and let sugar in, and then that sugar makes energy, and that... toxic exhaust comes out of the cell, goes to the liver and out the body, and it's a beautiful thing. But what happens with the toxins that we've gotten in our environment, whether they're, again, they're food, they're heavy metals, they're chemicals, they're stuff that we get on the food we eat, what they spray and all that, that stuff, the liver gets plugged up. It starts to be unable to clean the blood correctly. So it's like taking a sponge, dumping it in a water and trying to wash a wall, and you never clean the water out, pretty soon you've got dirty walls. Our livers get plugged up and toxic, so the blood never gets cleaned, and then these toxins are washing along the edge of the cells. It's like if I had turpentine and I kept putting turpentine on my hand, pretty soon my hand would be inflamed. So the cells get inflamed now. Now, one insulin can no longer open the door because it's almost like having poison oak on your face. You have eyes, you just can't see. Mm-hmm. So now your body produces more insulin to try to pry open that little door to let the sugar in. Pretty soon it's so bad and the cells are so resistant to insulin because of the toxic buildup and such that your pancreas can't keep up on the insulin, so you have to get man-made insulin.
So I imagine you recommend detoxification of the various organs of the body for this?
This is the bottom line. And when you really want to get down to getting the stem cells created and get rid of inflammation, you have to detoxify
first. So detox first, and then you're ready for stem cell treatment.
They're going to happen along the way. If you're going to do exogenous stem cell treatment, if you're going to go and have some injected into a bad disc or to a bad knee or shoulder or something along that line,
yeah.
A lot of the places, I don't think, prepare you well enough. What we're really looking at is, like, you might need to do a 3 to 5 month preparation just to get those stem cells injected into your body. I think sometimes people just go in on Sunday, get the stem cells, and it still works. But if you really want it bang for your buck, clean up your environment so that they're not fighting off 80% with 80% of what you put in and only 20% is working, figuratively speaking.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Could you say a rough analogy might be with your car? Usually your oil is kept clean by the filter on the system, but after a while you just have to change the oil.
That's it. And your liver is like that oil filter. Blood's going through and, you know, you can't change your liver, but you can clean it. Mm. You can detox what we call the downstream downstream pathways, the things like the intestines, stop them from having the leaky gut syndrome, get the liver cleaned up of toxins, and so it's efficient, your kidneys efficient. And then we want to start to pull the toxins out of the cells. Mm-hmm. By pulling the heavy metals and toxins, molds, and biochemicals out of the cell will start to function better. A really good analogy is if I'm driving down the road and I have a hose in my exhaust pipe and I put that in the window of my car and I keep driving.
They're not going to last long.
Yeah, but that's literally what's happening to the cells of our body. Uh-huh. And that exhaust in those cells are killing something called the mitochondria, which is the power plant in our body. And then our immune system goes down. It turns on the bad genes inside our cells. Like there's 7 Alzheimer genes that we know about. There's cancer genes. There's AS, you know, all these different types of diseases.
So they're blueprints that are in there, but unless the cell is toxic, those blueprints are just held at bay.
They're going to, be very unlikely to turn on. I think everybody agrees that 5% of the disease is genetic. The other 95% is the toxins turning on the gene.
Or so you're saying if we detox, then we can turn off those genes?
They don't know for sure that they can turn off the genes. There's no exact science finding that, so I wouldn't want to say that, but we know that conditions turn around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's better to have clean conditions.
Yeah.
And what you've said so far is that the first step is fasting. And then what happens after fasting? You're doing
detox
a daily
procedures.
Fast, then what?
Yeah, so the first step is not necessarily fasting. It's getting the body. See, if you fast with a really toxic body, you're just going to get sick. Oh. So first you have to do a little cleaning up of your digestive system. There's a real good product called Restore out there that you can get at the health food store that helps tighten up the junctions in your gut. It's amazing.
So that's for anti-leaky gut kind of thing?
Yeah, it closes up these leaky guts so they're tight again. And once you get that done, then you want to start to do some intermittent fasting and challenge your digestive system a little bit so it starts to wipe out the lazy, good-for-nothing bacteria that are hanging out
in
there.
So how can you challenge your digestive system? Do you start jogging or?
Well, that's absolutely, there's several ways to go. And exercise is great, but they call it burst exercise. So you might do some quick sprints. Anything that you do continually for a long time is going to lose its effectiveness. That's why if you do a particular diet for a little while, it's going to work great. But then people go, yeah, I just kind of stopped losing weight. You do the paleo, then you do the keto diet, then you do the diet for my blood type. They're all good. But diet variation is the key. You got to change it up every month.
Like every month. Yeah. Okay. So where does one begin if a person just feels like for longevity, they want to change their habits and start moving in the right direction?
There's a great thing that they can do. They can change their diet. In fact, I'm just going to plug this. If you text get healthy to 474747, you go to my website and you can download a free 1-week diet plan, and also you can download a shopping list that will tell you what to go and get in the stores, and it will just give you a really good idea how to clean up your environment. Also, another thing you can do is open up your cabinets and see what's in there. You're going to find Lysol in there and Raid and so many incredibly toxic substances that you don't even know are killing you.
The leakage from those affects you.
Or you're spraying it around the house. I used to use Roundup and I didn't realize how bad it was. I used to kill my weeds with it. Now I know it's killing the environment. It's in our rainwater. It's everywhere. And it's destroying our own digestive system. And it also drives toxins deeper into our brain.
Interesting. Okay, so let's go through that number again you mentioned. This is for a text. If you want to text,
write. Text 474747, and then the bar, write, get healthy. So get healthy to 474747, and you'll get taken to my website. And Carol just told me today she put in a 1-week meal plan, and then you can also download a really good shopping list of organics and healthy foods.
Now, how long before you start feeling the effects of changing this?
It could be days to months.
I mean, you know, depends on how far along you are.
Look at the average person out there, you know. But, you know, you want to do things on a gradient. I think a lot of us have jumped into exercising again this year only to hurt our back the third day, and then we quit. We lose our dreams, and I think people give up on their health because they try stuff and that either they get no results or they get too good of results and they get sick from it, or they're just not getting direction. there's a really specific program we put people through. It's minimally a 4-month program to really detoxify correctly. A lot of these cleanses that people do, 3-5 days, they're good, but they're not really getting to upstream to the real cause of the problem.
Well, you have so many different systems that are interrelated. And so once you start fixing one, you start breaking another.
And what's the real basic cause of the problem?
That's a great question. It's cellular inflammation.
Back to that.
Yeah, Dr. Pompa's phrase is fix a cell to get well. Hmm. So we're chronically inflamed. We've got to figure out how to get the toxins out of our body. And then the deep-seated ones are really the key. The ones that get into our brain are really the key.
Are they smaller?
Yeah, well, also the glyphosate opens up the blood-brain barrier and we get heavy metals in our brain and also lots of insulin in our brain. 50% of the adult population are either diabetic or pre-diabetic, which means they're insulin resistant, which means your body, your bloodstream has to have more insulin than normal. And that insulin is called type 3 diabetes or insulin on the brain, and it's also called Alzheimer's disease. It lays down plaque. So we got to fix the cell to get well.
Now, there's an appropriate inflammation response, isn't there? I mean, isn't inflammation part of the body's healing process?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely there to warn the body that something's wrong, to wake up the brain, to bring the right chemicals down, to eat up the bugs.
And now, if we're a self-healing system, how come we're not healing ourselves from that better?
That's a great, great question. And I think if you take a look at our liver, has been around for how many millions of years, they figure out the body's, human body's.
Well, at least 300,000 years is Homo sapien.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I figured you'd know that.
Maybe up to a million.
Doctor past. No, future. Right.
Right. Something
so,
like that.
Yeah, but our liver, since the turn of in the 1900s, how many new chemicals, man-made chemicals, have been exposed
to? I see. It's because of the rapid change from the Industrial Revolution.
It might take a scientist years to develop one little chemical to handle some bug or something. And then that gets into our liver, and in a split second, it has to detoxify it. Just like that. It doesn't have to undo the years of chemistry that man had to put into it to create these, I think there's 70 or 80,000 chemicals or something now.
Yeah, yeah. So, how about if we switch to breads that weren't modified?
Well, once you're healthy, that'd be fine. But right now, you want to get away from any, you know, basically you want to get away from anything that's going to inflame your body. The grains from England or Europe are still, they're okay. They're old, non-modified glutens, and those you can eat. Just ours, we should stay away from.
Okay, good. Okay, we're talking to Dr. Duncan McCollum. We'll be back after the break. If you have any questions, give us a call at 831-479-1080. The Dr. Future Show. Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. We're talking to Dr. Duncan McCollum, and he's going to mention the topic of ketones in relation to stem cell therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. There's two types of fuel our body burns. One is sugar and one is fat. Ketones are fat, and ketones burn like a gas stove. You know, when you turn on your gas stove, you don't really need to have a hood or fireplace chimney over it, unless you start to cook something.
It's pretty clean burning.
It's very clean burning. And when you burn wood in your house, if you don't have a chimney, you're going to get toxic.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sugar burns like a smoky chimney. Sugar is any carbohydrate and protein burn as sugar. A lot of people don't realize that protein ultimately burns as sugar. So
it's not a clean burning fuel for the body.
Exactly. So to clean up the toxic cells so that stem cells can actually have a chance to live, you need to change your diet into a ketone burning machine.
So you're burning ketones instead of sugar.
Yeah, and if you walk around and you look at anybody that's got an extra 5 pounds on them, they've got a lot of fuel sitting there. I mean, it's like fossil fuel galore. They could live off that stuff for a long time.
Like belly fat?
Yeah, everything. It's all stored ketones.
Well, yeah. So you had to trigger off the ketone burner.
Yeah, what we do is we were talking about a lot of people probably do the bulletproof coffee or some version of that where you put in the, like I mentioned, an eating window where you eat dinner and then lunch. But if you have some pure fat in the morning, and it could be just an avocado, but if you have some coffee with whipping cream in it or butter in it or coconut oil, you're going to jumpstart your body's ketone burning machine. It might take 3 to 4 weeks for your body to really keto adapt, which means it actually knows what to do. But then once you start burning ketones, your brain loves to burn ketones. It feels so much better, so much sharper, because you don't have any of that dirty exhaust in there.
And it feels better than a sugar mind high?
It really does once you get there. But it's not going to happen overnight. It was going to take a little while, and there's some discipline on it. And we'll be going over that in the workshop I'm doing. I do these talks quite a bit.
So you said you're doing something tomorrow night.
Yeah, at my office, 6 to 7, I'll be going over a lot of this subject. It's McCollum Chiropractic in Capitola by Trader Joe's there, so you're welcome to come.
That's McCollum.
Yeah, I'm right next to Rabobank. It's 459-9990. You'll be more than welcome to come. Mention this show, and we'll give you a free oxy test, which looks for inflammation in your body. It's a urine test. Just throw that out there for fun. Make my staff mad at me again.
So you're saying you can detect where you have inflammation through a urine test?
That you have cellular inflammation. Cellular inflammation is, it's like, if you went out to the field and found an old car and you rubbed your fingers on it and you got oxidized paint on it, that's what happens to the cells. They start to oxidize because free radicals get in there and they chip away at the cell, and they start to break down those oils, which cell walls are made of oil, and they start to oxidize them and make them kind of dry and flaky. That stuff gets into our bloodstream and even creates more of a problem.
And that's what you can measure.
Yeah, that's what we can measure. So getting back to burning ketones, we want you to get away from burning the carbohydrates as much as you can and more into a ketogenic diet. Of course, you're going to go in and out of it because we need diet variation. But we do want to have you get your body burning the ketones on a regular basis. By the way, there'll be people out there that don't like me saying this, but the paleo diet, since it is a primarily a protein-burning diet, protein does burn kind of hot. Mm. It does have more of a toxic buildup in it. And also, it starts these certain pathways going in the body. There's these couple different cycles that occur. One's anabolic. In other words, when you eat protein, you're going to build muscle, right? But it also starts some other not great pathways that could start to create some disease and stuff. So you want to do the protein and you do want to have the paleo type food, but intermittently. So you give your body a break from that. I had one patient, I love her, she's great. She's been a patient for several years, and finally I got her to do intermittent fasting. And when she came back, she said, you know what, I've been waiting, she's like 35 years old, I've been waiting my whole life for somebody to tell me I didn't need to eat breakfast. And she goes, she's doing
breakfast.
Yeah, but she's doing great. I mean, you know, your parents forced you to eat. And look at America. We are overweight. As a society, we're obese. And it's just ridiculous. This is inflamed body parts. It's causing disease. We don't die of natural causes in this country anymore. We die of disease. So by getting the body to become more efficient, breaking down the ketones, changing your diet, getting your body to produce and create its own stem cells along the way, there's a lot of steps to it, but it's very, very doable. You just have to know which steps to do first. You can turn your body around, and a lot of these chronic diseases go away.
Now, you're saying that stem cells will be generated naturally by the body once you're following some of these more healthy regimes?
Absolutely, and that's what, again, we started the show talking about Dr. Yusunori Ohsumi, who won the Nobel Prize with his study on autophagy, which is eating the bad cells. Good cells survive, bad cells can't adapt, so they get wiped out under moments of stress. And then Dr. Walter Longo's from MIT's study that said in times of fasting, after 30 hours of fasting, your body starts to pour the stem cells out into the body. Then Dr. Jason Fung on top of that said, well, now if you do it for 2 more days, you're going to have so many stem cells floating around in your body that you can actually feed them and keep them there long enough to do some good. So you can't just fast for 30 hours and then go have a beer and fish and chips. You have to feed the body the right stuff. I injured my shoulder last summer very badly, and being a chiropractor, it was quite a problem. But I did a 5-day water fast right at January, the beginning of January. At Dr. Pompa, we had like over 2,000 people do it at one time. It was pretty neat. And he says, basically, and I've coached some people through this too, at first with a 5-day water fast, you're going to lose weight and that scares some people. But within 10 days, you're going to gain it back, and it's going to be all healthy new muscle cells and healthy organ cells. And sure enough, 10 days after I did that, my ligament in my arm was just like almost better than it was before I hurt it. Yeah. So it's pretty amazing.
So all the injured cells got stripped away, and then you fed yourself properly, and then they grew back better.
Yeah.
And your understanding is that that's the body was releasing its own stem cells to help facilitate that healing.
Yeah, and thank God it's not my understanding. There's science behind it. That's some of the top-end guys on the planet.
You're standing based on the science. Girl, you are a scientist.
Yeah, I do understand it. Yes. It worked.
And so I'm curious, after your 5-day water fast, what did you follow that up with that was so healthy for your newly generated stem cells?
I had a hamburger and milkshake. No, just kidding.
Celebrated.
Well, like any good Scott, you know. No.
Once you get used to ketones, though, is it the sugar doesn't seem as satisfying?
I very rarely eat bread. I will now and then. We'll cheat, you know, but it's just, I just don't want it anymore.
You don't have the desire, huh?
And you know what it is? We talked about, are the microbiome driving us to eat this stuff? It's going, feed me, Seymour, you know?
Yes.
So you start to feel good and you just don't want to eat the bad stuff. I still do. You know, my wife looks at me and goes, you're not supposed to eat that. And I go, shh. Quiet.
Just a little bit.
Don't tell my microbiome.
Homeopathic. Yeah. Homeopathic dose. And what about the brain-gut connection?
Yeah, that's awesome. It's called our two brains, basically. You know, we have our gut and our brain. And we talked about that a minute ago. Your gut is basically demanding what you put into your body so that you can feed your body healthy. When it gets messed up, and because all those bad bugs get in there, we call them opportunistic anaerobes. It's like a bad smile, not a smiley face, it's a bad face. Those guys get in there and they make us sick. They destroy our tissue and they destroy the hormones in our body. They destroy, heavy metals get into our pituitary gland and our hypothyroid gland, which control our hormones. Mm-hmm. And by getting the gut, allowing that stuff to get into our brain, they're destroying the chemistry in our body, destroying our hormones, creating so many ill effects that it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we have a question coming in about the water fast. They want to know, it's no water or only water? I would assume it's only water, right?
Yeah, it's only water. And you work yourself into it. A lot of times people start with bone broth fasts. Call my office if you have any questions. I'd be more than happy to talk to you through it. 459-9990.
It's 831 area code.
Yeah, and it's all a bunch of nines. 459-9990. It's so fun seeing people change. I've had one lady that couldn't even walk up 3 stairs because she was so exhausted. She had Epstein-Barr virus, chronic fatigue syndrome, and the list of diseases which just describe symptoms went on and on and on. And she's gotten such amazing results. She's actually now coaching for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's great. All right. So it's not time for people to give up hope.
No, don't give up hope.
Lots you can do.
No matter what your age, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Even if we did live in the 60s. You know.
Has this changed your focus on chiropractic?
It has. You know, I used to love to do, when the human genome was figured out back in the early part of the century, you know, I really got involved with functional medicine and with the guy that was really leading it named Jeffrey Bland. And it was kind of hard to do much with it because there wasn't a really good procedure. And then once I met Dr. Pompa and found out that he had the whole thing mapped out and it was easy, quote unquote, to do, but doable, I went, now I can really help people. And it's changed dramatically the way I focus. I'm still a chiropractor, first and foremost.
I know you talk about detox on your chiropractic website as well.
Yeah. There's 3 parts to the health pyramid. There's physical, which is a hard bone on soft nerve. And then there's chemical, which we've been talking about. And then there's the mental, spiritual. And that, you got to fire your boss sometimes.
All right. The show's about to be over. Do you want to give us tell everybody how to follow up?
Connection.
Yeah. Numbers, I'm going to be doing a talk tomorrow night at my office at the Brown Ranch Shopping Center. It's McCollum Chiropractic, 6 to 7, on this subject, 459-9990.
Near Trader Joe's, right?
Yeah, near Trader Joe's. Or if you want to go to your cell phone and type in 474747, and then to get healthy, you can download a whole bunch of great free material. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. McCollum.
Yeah, appreciate your attention on tonight's show. Big topic, so much to cover in so little time, but we hope we get you started in this direction. I think maybe we'll even try it ourselves.
Sounds fun. All right.